Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I'm Paula. Change is life's great constant. Our guest assures us that there are no exceptions made for large nation states with a taste for empire. He's Kevin Phillips, the distinguished political and economic analyst. He's studied empires throughout history to understand what's happening in the United States. Mr. Phillips believes America is about to pay a terrible price for its reckless finance, failed politics, and a global crisis of American capitalism. Among Mr. Phillips's examples, the United States can no longer take Canada's oil for granted. Is America's slide from its once dominant position just the way it goes, given the role of change in life?
Well, it's the nature of life, but I think it's also, unfortunately, the nature of the second decade on the down escalator that everybody wants to pretend is still an up escalator.
Which is
the status of the United States in the world and its military overreach, the global economy, the extent to which we have picked people that just lack any sense of what America's changing role has to be.
Kevin Phillips is author of Bad Money, Reckless Finance, Failed Politics, and the Global Crisis of American Capitalism, and a dozen other books. His bestsellers include American Theocracy, American Dynasty, The Politics of Rich and Poor, and Wealth and Democracy. A former Republican strategist, Mr. Phillips first became widely known in the 1960s for his book, The Emerging Republican Majority. He now writes for the Los Angeles Times, Harper's, and Time magazines. Bill Russell and I are always certain we'll learn from Mr. Phillips, whether reading one of his well-researched books or when we have the pleasure of talking with him.
Kevin Phillips, I have sort of a music track that goes in my head, mostly when I'm reading, but maybe all the time. And as I read Bad Money, I found myself singing along to an old Anglo-Saxon, Irish, American, Welsh, English song, What Shall We Do with the Drunken Sailor? What Shall We Do with the Drunken Sailor? Well, I name it in time and place because it is a very American, Anglo-Saxon kind of a tune. It speaks across centuries, really. It goes back to the maritime when the soldiers were being impressed, as in kidnapped, into service. And this notion of the drunken sailor thinking about bad money seemed to be more or less prescient. What shall we do with the drunken sailor?
The drunken sailor is the drunken steersman, I suspect, because you've got to look at the steering the ship. And what's happened to the United States, and it has happened to other countries historically, but in different ways, in lesser ways, and then well before this, is that essentially the financial sector, without much attention, I've used the term hijack the country. That's perhaps slightly excessive, but taking over its economy while still pretending that there's another real economy and it's only minor. Finance is the biggest thing in the economy at this point. It's got 20 to 21% of gross domestic product. Manufacturing is down to 12. The whole notion that finance is anything other than the centerpiece of the money culture and the money economy and the whole economy is a huge mistake. And that, I think, contains this huge danger for the country that can't be addressed until we understand really how big it's become and the ingredients of the last 10 to 15 years in terms of what finance has risen by doing, whether it be in credit cards and crazy financial instruments or exotic mortgages.
Well, it's not like we decided to do this.
No decision was ever made. I'm not certain the people who started the ball rolling in the 80s made exactly that decision. But I think they made a decision that finance was what had to be supported if it got in trouble. And maybe they didn't assume that it would become the dominant force in the economy. But if you have one section of the economy being favored by government, being favored by money supply policy and liquidity, being favored by bailing out, that's going to wind up as the biggest part of the economy. And that's what's happened, and I think we're going to pay a huge price for it.
There were two numbers. I mean, there are many numbers in here. Not to say it's overladen with numbers, but two that just jumped out at me. One was, you talk about the 20% of the GDP that is finance-related, 40% of the profits, which is even more striking. And I looked at that, and then I said, that's 40%, I assume, after extraordinarily high salaries, extraordinarily high bonuses, and extraordinarily high expenses, you know, all the perks that go with that. So the fact that it is not only a big part of the economy as a whole, but that the profitability of it is dramatically higher than other segments of the economy is got my attention in some serious ways. And the other, of course, is the debt structure, and we can come back to that. But this profitability that's gone into the financial sector, that dominance, and what that allows people to do, I think is very dangerous.
It allows them to do it, but the other danger here is that there is no historic example of a great power that let itself financialize and subordinate manufacturing that way, having come back from it, because finance is a very dangerous sort of self-indulgent stage of the national maturation process, and we've got that. But the concomitants of this are, whereas manufacturing, especially, let's say from the 40s through the 60s and well into the 70s, was something that took a large percentage of Americans, a large part of the workforce, and made them into a blue-collar middle class, lower middle class, whatever. It spread prosperity. You had people who were blue-collar workers who had fishing cabins in northern Michigan. Finance is just, it's much narrower. Very few people, comparatively speaking, make a better living than ever out of finance. Sure, there are 600,000 or 800,000 people, and that's really the group that's profiting enormously. Once you get away from 600,000 or 800,000, you're getting into local insurance agents and things. They're making money, but they're not making the big money out of the core, the sort of pulsing heart of finance, in which I went through a directory, and one of the financial firms, they have so many people in highly lauded and exalted jobs that there were about 15 or 20 senior executive vice presidents of this financial corporation. After you work down from the vice chairman and all that, and senior, just...
And one secretary.
And the secretary's in Bombay.
Right. Yes.
You've got no great mass of Americans making money out of this. You've got the great mass of Americans are paying huge interest rates on credit cards. They're getting bilked on mortgages, although some of them were trying to bilk at the same time. It was a two-way street with some of these exotic mortgages. But essentially what you have is that finance has run amok in terms of their products now, and the products have imploded. And we have to worry, because you can't have 20 to 21% of the GDP implode without paying a huge price.
Kevin Phillips opens up many opportunities for us to know a great deal more about the world, about the economy, about the present, and the near unto future. Be with us when we continue with Kevin Phillips here on The Paula Gordon Show.